It's great to be in this part of the world, fantastic to be back here for the second time. For those who don't remember, I had the privilege, and Liz and I, and Sol and Hannah at that time had the privilege of being part of Glyn and Elaine's induction service a number of years ago, and it was a privilege to come down and be part of that, and fantastic to come back again and play a small part in the life of the church here in Frimley. It's not an area I know wonderfully well. We live in Malvern, which is just outside of Worcester. For most of our lives, we actually lived in the northwest of England. And so it's great to kind of come and spend the weekend with you. The tail end of the street party yesterday, fantastic to see that all that was going on. And what a wonderful place to hold a royal street party, but on Sandringham Way. I mean, that's just... It's amazing that you've even named the road to kind of commemorate or celebrate a fantastic weekend. Well, it's been a red and blue weekend in terms of weddings. It's been a red and blue weekend in terms of cup finals. And today, it's certainly a red day in terms of remembering the Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit, the fire of God, if you like, that descended on our world, that equips us for everything that we have. So we're going to turn in a moment to Colossians chapter 3, and you maybe like to look at together from verse 12 through to verse 17. But whilst you're finding your way to Colossians, second half of your Bible, let me just say a little bit about ourselves. So my name is Dave Newton, and we've known Glyn Elaine for many, many years, and currently now we're involved in working with Elim Pentecostal churches. So we have about 550 churches around the country. And my particular role is training, and I have the privilege of overseeing a theological college called Regents Theological College, which trains men and women for all denominations and all parts of God's kingdom to serve God in communities in this country and around the world. And I just want to say something really encouraging, that more and more people are following the call of God and exploring ministry, whatever that means. You know, ministry isn't just about leading churches. Ministry is about taking God's mission wherever we are in society. In fact, we have the privilege of running a theatre and theology course, performing arts and theology, because we believe that the good news of Jesus is so exciting. We want to find the most creative ways to communicate it and express it. And many of our students will study the theology, understanding God, but also then performance and how they can put those things together. And we have the privilege of working up in Malvern, heading up that work, and it's fantastic. And one other encouragement, you always look for little signs of why you're supposed to be here today. But that last song that we've just sung by Catherine Scott is from one of our former students. So it's also great to see kind of people who've studied God's word still kind of invading and sowing seeds that we get to benefit from for years and years and years to come. So if you're interested in knowing more, I'd love to talk to you about it. But let's dive into God's word. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, which might be slightly different from what you see on the screen. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, we've been called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Glyn asked me a couple of weeks ago, so what's the title of the message? What are we going to be looking at? And I decided to call today's talk A New Wardrobe. We've just experienced a fantastic royal wedding where I'm sure lots of speculation was going into what on earth is Meghan going to wear and who's designed it and will we like it? You know, you'll all cast your mind back many years ago to Princess Diana when she had that wonderful dress, stepped out of the carriage, but it was so creased you couldn't actually see any of the detail that was on it. And was the same mistake going to be made again? Was it going to be something different? And people commentate and people collaborate and people talk about what clothes people are going to wear for certain occasions. You see, occasions cause us to wear certain things. Seasons also cause us to wear certain things. It would be quite strange on a sunny summer's day today if everybody came out wearing woolly jumpers, hats, scarves, you know, dressed up really, really warm. In fact, my daughter recently had the joy of being out in Cambodia where it was 40 degrees heat, and Operation Christmas Child delivered boxes to some street kids living in one particular village, and she was laughing to herself because people in the UK had packed these Christmas boxes with hats and scarves and gloves, and 40 degree Cambodian children are loving wearing them anyway because it's just something fun to wear. But the clothes didn't make sense for the occasion or the situation or the season that people found themselves in. You see, clothes can represent an occasion, can also reflect a season. And Paul is writing here to the church, and he starts to say, believers in Jesus, people who follow the way, Christians, people who use the name of Christ in their title, who live out Christ in this world, the good news is, and it is really good news, you've got a wardrobe that is available to you. You didn't even have to buy it. It didn't cost you anything. No one other than Jesus himself was involved in designing this fantastic wardrobe that you get to wear to represent Jesus Christ. You see, there used to be a wardrobe that you wore, okay? We didn't read this bit because it was the bad news, but let's just scan the beginning of Colossians. If you just want to look at the first few verses, because what Paul is saying to the church in the first few verses of Colossians is there used to be things that were part of your life that you now need to take off and get rid of. Things like anger, hatred, bitterness, immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, worshipping other idols. They were the clothes you used to wear before you followed Jesus. Take those clothes off. Take them to the jumble sale. In fact, even better, burn them. Get rid of that way of living because now you've got a different wardrobe. A wonderful kingdom wardrobe to wear. So verse 12, this is the bit we read. Let's just remind ourselves. So wear tender-hearted mercy, humility, gentleness, patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive people who offend you. So what I want to talk to you about this morning is this fantastic wardrobe. This beautiful kingdom wardrobe that we get to wear that enables you and me to represent God in the world every single day of our lives because we don't wear the baggy, comfortable jumpers of bitterness, but we wear the beautiful garments of forgiveness and gentleness and patience and humility and peace. So what clothes are you wearing? Which wardrobe did you visit this morning? Maybe more importantly, which wardrobe are you going to visit on Tuesday afternoon when you're facing a challenge in work or somebody cuts you up on the motorway on the way to work? What are you wearing to represent Jesus? So we get to this particular verse, verse 17. We're going to focus on this particular verse and we're going to pull out three particular things that I want us to explore this morning. Because Paul starts in verse 17. He says this, whatever you do or say. You see, we don't just get to wear these clothes when things are going well. We get to wear the garments that Christ has prepared for us, whatever the circumstances of life, whatever you do or say. I want to suggest this. It's okay to do whatever when it's the whatever you want to do. But when you don't want to do that whatever, how do you do whatever? Do you understand? Do you want me to say that again? You see, it's okay to do whatever for God. Whatever, God. We've all sung it on a Sunday. Yeah, hands in the air. God, I'll do whatever for you. But then you go, ooh, not that whatever. See, it's okay to do whatever when it's the whatever you want to do. Someone once said this. It's okay to be happy when the happenings that are happening in your life are happening the way you want them to happen. Yeah, we can be happy when things are going well, but when life isn't going quite as well, how do we represent Jesus in this world? It's okay to do whatever when it's the whatever you want to do. Paul was writing this letter to the Colossian church, believers seeking to follow God. He himself, at the time of writing it, was in prison. Paul had been shipwrecked. Paul had been flogged. He'd been falsely accused of a whole host of things. Paul had been through some things in his life that weren't the whatevers he certainly would have chosen. But he was able to write these words, whatever you do or say. How are you representing Jesus in this world? Whatever. I want to suggest the way we do it is by wearing the garments that we've been given to wear. Let me just tell you about a circumstance in my life. I spent most of my life working for a great organization called Youth for Christ. And Youth for Christ takes the good news of Jesus to young people. And I'd spent 17 years working for this organization. And I was coming to the end of this particular time. And I wanted to finish really well. I kind of made a decision. It wanted to be the best last 3 months and then pass on to somebody else. So I decided on the last day of work, rather than me getting paid, I was going to pay the organization the equivalent of my salary for that month. I thought it would be a great way to finish. So I didn't have the money in the bank, so decided I needed to raise it somehow. And so I decided to do a marathon. I was training for a marathon. I'm not a regular runner, but I thought if I can just get this marathon done, I'll be able to raise enough money. And sure enough, I had pledged over £5,000. That's far more than I ever got paid. And I had £5,000 pledged, and I thought, this is going to be brilliant. The last day of work, they're going to think that they're going to give me a gift, and I'm going to give them a gift. It's just going to be total kingdom, countercultural. So I started training, running. Probably 400 miles I did training for this particular marathon. If I did it, I wanted to do it well. You know, I wore out my trainers. It was kind of brilliant. I was ready to go. All of this money pledged 3 days before the race. Getting some petrol, getting some money out of a cash point, and I left the handbrake off my car. And I'm typing some numbers in to get some money out of the bank, and I hear a big crash behind me, and it's my car has rolled down the hill. Thankfully, there were some concrete ballards just behind my legs, because if they weren't there, there's a very strong possibility that I wouldn't be walking today. But this car just crashed into the concrete ballards just this far behind me. I turn round. Now, bear in mind, I'd been training for this run for about 6 months, and I felt like I was the Incredible Hulk. I thought I'll be able to stop a 2-ton car with my foot. So I put my foot on the bumper of the car, and the bumper hit the concrete ballards with my foot in the middle and went crunch. 400 miles of training, and I spent the last 3 months working for Youth for Christ, sat on my sofa. I didn't raise a penny. I didn't achieve the marathon. It was the most miserable way to finish 17 years of employment for one organization. It wasn't the whatever I would have picked. Do you get what I'm saying? Now, I know in a room this size, there will be people who are dealing with far bigger issues than a broken foot. You know, there'll be people that are dealing with relationship challenges. There will be people who are really having to muster up courage to go into work tomorrow because they're facing difficulties or stresses or strains. Financially, people might be dealing with things, family worries, people in their family that they're desperate to know Jesus and they're living with the pain of that. It's not the whatevers we would have picked. And yet, Paul says to us, as followers of Jesus, we've got a choice. We can go, whatever, God, or we can say, God, whatever the circumstances of life, I want to be somebody who represents you. I want to represent you when things go to plan. I want to represent you when my job doesn't work out. I want to represent you in my relationships. I want to represent you when things don't work at the pace I've expected them to. When somebody lets us down, when God seems silent, when ill health sets in, I want to represent God whatever the circumstances. What does Paul say to the Colossian church? He says this: make allowances for each other's faults. Forgive anybody who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. What clothes are you choosing to wear this morning? Which wardrobe have you stepped into? Have you stepped into that one of unforgiveness and holding on to grudges and bitterness and envy? Or are you choosing to wear the garments of joy, thankfulness, forgiveness, humility, and gentleness? I was convinced when I went to work in a theological college that it was going to all be about brain training. It was just about Christians getting bigger brains so they could show off about what they knew in the Greek and Hebrew and those kind of things. And I couldn't be more wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. I was put to shame by one particular student 6 months into my job. We work in a big kind of institution where we've got kind of catering and housekeeping and all sorts of jobs alongside studying. And one particular guy has to work in the catering department to pay his way through college. He didn't have the finance to get through. So he's working and studying all at once, family of five, trying to just get his way through. But one day he realized his back was so sore, he had to go to the doctors, and the doctor said, "You need an operation, 3 months off work." Well, he thought, well, how can I carry on my studies and look after my family when I can't work? So he shared this news with one of his friends. And 2 minutes later, another student knocks on my door and says, "I'd like to have his job." And I thought it was slightly opportunistic, but somebody needed to do the job. So this young woman took Dave's job for 3 months. For every single shift that she did, every penny she earned, she gave to Dave and his family. That's a whatever life. That's a life that has chosen to say, "I'm not in it for myself. I'm not in it for what I can get out of it. I am doing this Christian life to represent Christ. Therefore, I need to wear some clothes that represent him. The clothes that aren't about greed, the clothes that aren't about unforgiveness, but clothes that are about gentleness and patience and love and compassion." What clothes are you wearing this morning? Paul goes on, "Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, we get to represent Jesus when life is going really well. That's fine, isn't it? We can all do that. We get to represent Jesus in our relationships with the people we love. We can all do that. We get to represent Jesus when no one's looking. We get to represent Jesus in our integrity, in our peacekeeping, in our harmony. We get to represent Jesus in our desire to forgive people. We get to represent Jesus on our good days, our bad days, our busy days, our quiet days, the sunny days, the rainy days. We get to represent Jesus, Paul says, by wearing tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, peace, and love. How are you representing Jesus in Frimley? How are you representing Jesus in your family? How are you representing Jesus in your workplace? How are you representing Jesus in your own life? What clothes have you chosen to wear? You see, because we can carry on wearing the comfy garments that we were so familiar with, or we can get rid of them and start to wear the garments that we've been given to wear that represent Jesus in this world. I had the privilege 4 years ago now of taking some time out in Uganda in Central Africa. I was invited to go out with an organization called Tear Fund, and I spent some time out there doing a whole host of different projects. But one particular project, on one particular morning, I was invited to preach to some Ugandan boxers. I mean, these were really, really big guys. I had to get up really early on a Saturday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, because they wanted to train before it got too hot. And these guys just kind of put themselves through the paces, ran up and down hills. They kind of had tires that they were throwing around the place. They were doing all sorts of crazy, crazy things. Big, massive guys. Now, I thought, before I preach to them, maybe it would be appropriate for me to put some boxing gloves on first. Because why would they listen to me if I hadn't joined in with what they were doing? So I picked the little guy. His name was Roger, and he was about 70 years old, and he was skinny, and I thought, I'm going to be able to hold my own against Roger. So I put some old boxing gloves on. Never boxed in my life. I'd seen it on television, and I knew how to stand. So I stood there like this. And now I can honestly say I've never seen anybody's hands move so fast. In fact, more accurately, I didn't even see his hands move. I just felt them in my face, you know? And after 30 seconds, I'm thinking, why did I pick this guy? I threw my gloves on the floor in disgust. I was probably not representing Christ at that moment particularly well. And I sat down and got my breath back. And when he'd got his breath back, I said, Roger, you look like you're really, really good against me. But how good are you really? And this is what Roger said, the guy in the black suit there. He says to me, I'm looking forward to representing Uganda in the Commonwealth Games later this year. And I'm thinking, why didn't somebody tell me? You know, it's kind of one of these big setups that was obviously someone planned. So anyway, when I recovered from the bruises and various things and got to speak to him, and it was a brilliant time just sharing my faith with these guys, many of them Muslims, many of them of no faith. But I thought, I need to see Roger do his stuff in the real competition in Glasgow 2014. So I looked through the TV listings, and sure enough, Uganda are in the flyweight round. So Roger steps into the ring to do his thing, and I'm thinking, he's going to be really good because he's been trained by me. And he steps into the ring, but after 20 seconds, this happens. Roger's in the blue corner, and he takes a punch to his face that really knocks him senseless. After 2 minutes, Roger's Commonwealth Games is completely over. I haven't yet gone back to Uganda, but if I did, and if I managed to find Roger, who would now be in his 20s, and I was to say to Roger, Roger, was it really worth it? Getting up early in the morning, all of that effort, all of that training, running up and down hills, you know, getting into the ring with me. Was it all worth it to kind of spend 2 minutes in the Commonwealth Games? All that expense, flying across the world, was it really worth it? I think Roger would be grinning from ear to ear. And he would say to me with a massive smile on his face, I got to represent Uganda for 2 minutes in the Commonwealth Games. Guys, we don't get 2 minutes or 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years. You and I this morning get a lifetime to represent the King of Kings, the Creator of the world, every single day of our lives. You know, if you're invited to be a representative of the King, you want to wear the garments that he's given you to wear. You don't want to be turning up with unforgiveness and bitterness and disappointment and greed and guilt and hatred. Those things need to be put to death. In fact, Paul says in the beginning of Colossians, get rid of those things and put on, clothe yourselves with the garments that represent me in this world. What garments are you wearing to represent Jesus today? How are you representing him? What choices do you make that represent the King of Kings? Paul goes on, says, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he finishes with this phrase in verse 17. In fact, it's mentioned 6 times in Colossians alone. Be thankful. Again and again and again. You'll notice, oh, by the way, be thankful. Always be thankful. Don't forget, be thankful. It's almost like thankfulness is one of the keys to representing Jesus in our world. Always be thankful. Thankful. Is that even possible? Even in Frimley, is that even possible? Even on a sunny day, is it possible to always be thankful. Well, I don't think Paul would have written it. I don't think it would have got into Scripture if it was something that was unachievable. So the question is, how can we always be thankful? We have three children. My eldest son is now 21 years old. And when he was in school, Josh went to year seven, which is the first year in secondary school. And he had 100% attendance. Every single day he went to school. He was always in school. So unbeknown to Liz and I, Josh, when he got a little voucher saying well done and a £10 gift voucher, he thought, I'm going to go to school every single day for 5 years because I don't know how big the check's going to be that they give me. So he went year seven, he went year eight, year nine, year 10. He didn't miss a day in school. Liz and I were like, have a day off, you've got the flu. And he's like, no, I'm going to school. And he was determined he was going to be there every single day, right through year 11, until April, year 11, just before his GCSE exams. And Josh gets glandular fever and never goes to school again. Isn't it strange? We can try to do things with all of our strength, but still fail. So if I was to tell you this morning, everybody, let's always be thankful, off we go. We could try for 5 minutes, and it wouldn't be long before we fell flat on our face. Maybe there's something more in this thankfulness. Maybe it's not a demand upon us. Maybe it's a posture that we can adopt that enables us to represent Jesus in this world. Let me explain a little bit more. Remember that Paul is writing this letter in the middle of prison. Yeah, he's writing it chained to guards. He's not in a nice circumstance saying, be thankful. He didn't have much to be thankful for. The circumstances of life were not conducive to thankfulness at the moment he was penning this letter. So what was going on in Paul's head? I'm going to take you back to the story I told you when I was running, training for this marathon. I even had to run when I was on holiday. And this particular one day, I looked at my phone and it says, run 5 miles. So I did. I started running 5 miles. I got out of the caravan and I was about a mile into the run when I bumped into this gentleman called Frank. Now, Frank was on the same campsite as us. And I knew he suffered with really bad arthritis. I'd seen him walking around really, really struggling to move. So I was surprised when Frank said to me, Dave, can I join you on your run? So I turned to Frank and said, Frank, I've got 5 miles to do, but you're very welcome to join me. I might need to go a little bit fast at some points. Now, there was quite a big age gap. There was quite a big health gap between myself and Frank. But Frank was jogging comfortably alongside me. A mile into the run, Frank disappeared into the distance. I'm now chasing 62-year-old arthritic Frank, thinking there's no way I'm getting back for breakfast telling Liz that I've been beaten by this guy. So I'm chasing him down. I'm desperate to kind of make sure that I get in at the same time as Frank, at least. After 5 miles, we get back into the campsite together, literally neck and neck. When I get my breath back, I say, Frank, how on earth, knowing your health condition, knowing the fact that you're quite a few years older than I was at the time, how can you run so well? And this is what he said to me. I've run every single day of my life since the age of 17. My muscles just know how to run. I wonder if this morning, Paul, in his letter to the Colossian church, and in turn to the church in Frimley, is saying, I'm inviting you to start training the muscles of thankfulness. I want us to adopt the posture of gratitude. I want us to recognize what God has done in our lives and is doing in our lives. Because when we adopt that posture, actually bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and guilt and all of those things that we used to wear in that old wardrobe just seem to become insignificant in the light of what God has done for us. If we start to train the muscles of thankfulness and enter into a lifestyle of gratitude and gratefulness for what God has done for us, maybe that puts us in a better place to represent Jesus in this world, whatever the circumstances of life. I've written a phrase down here. I'm just going to read it to you. Perhaps thankfulness is the currency that enables you and me to trade our way through the whatevers that life brings our way and represent Jesus in all we do and say. How are you going to train the muscle of thankfulness this morning? How are you going to make choices that say, do you know what, bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and greed, they've got no part in my life anymore. Now I follow Christ. I am a Christian. I'm a little Christ in this world. I am going to train the muscles of thankfulness, wear the garments that represent him every single day. I travel around churches a lot, and lots of pastors, lots of leaders in churches ask, how can we change the town that we live in? How can we develop evangelism strategies that will grow our churches? What could we do to make a difference in our towns and cities? I think the answer is every single individual in the church starting to represent Jesus wherever they are. You know, if we start to wear the clothes that Christ has given us to wear, every circumstance, every situation, every day, it's not about a church leadership strategy or a mission strategy. It's about his people representing him in the world. The writer of the Hebrews put it like this. No discipline is pleasant at the time. In fact, it's painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Are we prepared to train the muscle of thankfulness? Are we prepared to consciously choose the garments that we've been given to wear to represent him in this world? Whatever you do, whatever circumstance you're in, represent Jesus and always be thankful. I've listened to many messages, and often after the preacher's been going for 15 minutes, it's easy to switch off and forget what they said. So I've borne that in mind this morning, and I've decided to condense my entire message in a 90-second summary, okay? So if you haven't heard a word I've said, if you've taken no notes, if you've been asleep for most of it, then now is the time to wake up, because in poem form, just for you in Frimley this morning, I'm going to give you the edited highlights of my message. So here goes. I don't mean to try and be clever, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I never, but if we're going to represent, we've got to endeavour to be people who are thankful, whatever. If we want to last the race, keep going forever, be a blessing to others, whoever, wherever, when our whatever leaves us face down, under pressure, needing a pick-me-up or a quick refresher, if our summer feels like a dark November and we could be knocked down easier than a feather, if life feels more like cheap plastic than genuine leather, people do your head in and you can't get on together. I don't mean to try and be clever, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I never, but if we're going to represent Jesus, we've got to endeavor to be people who are thankful, whatever the circumstances of life. I'm going to invite you to stand together. We're just going to pray. In a moment, I'm going to pass back to the worship team, but I just think on this Pentecost Sunday, there's a moment for us just to ask God what he's saying into our circumstances. Maybe for some people here this morning, you know that you've been dipping into the wrong wardrobe. It's been far easier to wear the comfortable clothes of anger and bitterness. And you're feeling a challenge this morning to put them off, to get rid, to lay them down. You're making a conscious decision today to say, and actually humility and gentleness and gratitude, they're the clothes that I need to be wearing to represent Jesus in this world. Perhaps for somebody this morning, there is a particular whatever, a particular circumstance of life, maybe ill health, maybe a challenge in a relationship, maybe a family situation, maybe a work situation. And it's making it really difficult to represent God because of that circumstance or that situation. If that's you this morning, I'd just love to pray that God will come and meet you and enable you to be thankful even in that circumstance of life. Just take a moment and say, God, what are you saying to me this morning? What is this passage from Colossians speaking into my life? Holy Spirit, what do you expect? What do you desire from me today as a result of hearing your word? So Heavenly Father, this morning I want to pray for each person here. Lord, we want to pray that we can be representatives of you in this world. Lord, that we can be people, whatever the circumstances of life, we choose to wear what the Spirit has given us to wear, the garments that we've been given, kingdom garments that represent you and your kingdom. God, forgive us when we've chosen to wear the comfortable old garments. Help us to lay those down, put them off, get rid, put to death. Lord, and help us to choose to wear garments that represent you in this world. God, I pray especially this morning for people who are dealing with particular circumstances, trials, difficulties, struggling with unforgiveness, hanging on to bitterness, dealing with health circumstances. God, we pray in your power that you will bring healing and transformation and change the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in. But God, even if those circumstances don't change, give us a spirit of thankfulness. Give us a spirit that represents you, whatever the circumstances are. Lord, and we pray that we can represent you in this world. See our towns, our villages, our communities, our families, even our society changed as we seek to represent you as your kingdom citizens, as your kingdom representatives. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen.